Welcome to the Culture Coordinator Podcast, episode 003. I am your host and founder of the Culture Coordinator, Kurt Earle. Today, we're going to be exploring some ideas from Daniel Pink's book, To Sell is Human, which I have adopted into an article and into this podcast titled To Sell is Coaching. We're going to be talking about information symmetry, opportunity symmetry, and how each of those things have created a place where we need to be in sales and to sell our program to our people. Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of the Culture Coordinator Podcast. Today, it's just me, no guests or anything today, and I'd just like to outline and talk about an article I posted on the website a long time ago, but that I think is really worth digging into and thinking about here as well in this format. The article that I'm referring to is called To Sell is Coaching, and it's all about the reality that being a head coach has really changed, and whether we like it or not, we need to see ourselves as a salesman of sorts. And so we're going to kind of introduce this idea, think about it some, and then I've got three practical takeaways for you at the end of the podcast that you can put into practice to help you become a better salesman of the things you are doing. So let's begin with just kind of outlining the problem. You know, as our society becomes increasingly connected 24/7, 365, the job description for a head coach is an ever-evolving document. The traditional tasks of managing equipment, communicating with coaches, players, parents, and administration, motivating players, those sorts of things remain, and they're still a part of our job description. But new responsibilities have emerged, and I think in our modern context, great head coaches recognize they must be great marketers. They understand that a critical aspect of their job as the head coach, and dare I say, the most important aspect of their job as the head coach, is creating a brand for their program and selling that brand to all the program's stakeholders. And I know there might be some of you who hear that and you think, oh, that is not who I am. That's not why I got into coaching. And I just want to encourage you that maybe it's not as bad as it seems and that you can get good at this and really begin to embrace it and enjoy it if you just have the right framework on it. So that's kind of where we're headed, because whether you like it or not, the truth is a great head coach is in the business of marketing and sales. And I know that kind of makes us cringe. That's not where we want to be. But I think when you hear what I have to say and think it through, it's a helpful perspective and paradigm shift. And I don't think you're going to be as, cringing at the end of this. So if you're not convinced that my previous statement is true, let me kind of point you towards an author in a book that really shaped my perspective here and got me thinking this way. It began when I read a book that was written in 2013 by Daniel Pink, and the title is To Sell is Human. And in the book, Pink carefully outlined several reasons why all of us are now in sales. As a head football coach, the reason that caught my attention and made me realize that selling is now a critical component of truly building a strong program was the concept that Pink calls information symmetry. To help you understand what information symmetry is, Pink uses a classic scene at a used car lot to sort of make his point. So he points out that 20 or 30 years ago, customers came to a used car lot looking for a car, and they had no real ability to obtain information on their own. A customer showed up and they didn't know anything about the cars that were on the lot yet. They were totally dependent upon the salesman, and at the end of the interaction, the only thing the customer really knew about the car was whatever the salesman told them. Pink refers to this interaction and this situation as information asymmetry, because one of the people in the interaction has the vast majority of the critical information needed for the transaction and for the interaction. And what Pink goes on to do is to explain that in the age of the internet, This paradigm has changed drastically. Now customers come to the used car lot knowing everything about the car that they are interested in buying. They've already looked it up online. They've gotten information about the car history and the Carfax report and all those kind of things. And so thanks to companies like Carfax, the customer and the car salesman have roughly the same information about the cars. So this new paradigm is what Pink refers to as information symmetry. And it's this information symmetry idea that really caught my attention as a coach when I read this book. And it's completely changed the way in which a good used car salesman works and operates and functions. So what does this have to do with football and with coaching football? And I want to just put in front of you that I think the same transition from information asymmetry to information symmetry has taken place in coaching. 20 or 30 years ago, just like with the used car lot, the football coach knew all the critical information about what it took to build a great football player, to build a great program, to put together an offense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We were the used car salesman. I don't mean that in a negative way, of course, but we were the one that had all the information. And the customer or the player or the parent, they had very little opportunity to know some of the things that we know because it wasn't as readily available. And so we're now in a world where anyone, not just coaches, can gain instant access to some of the best resources for coaching football there is. So many wonderful things are online, and if you're willing to pay a price, and often a relatively small price, you can have access to those things. And so players and parents now have the opportunity to create the same amount of information symmetry the customer has at the used car lot. So you think about that used car lot example and the way in which Pink describes how it has changed over the years. I believe it's changed in a very similar way when it comes to the coach and the player and the parent and that interaction and who really has a wealth of knowledge versus the other person. And so as a coach, you know from experience that your most ambitious players and parents have acquired just enough information to be dangerous. And I don't mean that as a knock on your most ambitious players or parents, but I mean that in a way to say that they know a lot, but they don't necessarily know because it isn't their profession. It's not what they've spent years doing. They don't know how to put things together the way they ought to be put together. And so they need some help interpreting and applying what they know, but they know way more than you and your parents did when you were a player. I'm a relatively young coach, 36 years old. I graduated from high school in 2000. And even in that relatively short time frame, man, is my players have such a different perspective on the game and on being a part of our program for a number of reasons. But one of them is this reality that information symmetry exists. And so this reality, which again, Pink calls information symmetry, can't be ignored. And it's a part of why every great coach must be a salesman. Again, like it or not, I think we're all in sales. As a coach, you have to sell your culture, your offense, your defense, your special team strategies, your techniques, your practice schedule, your off-season conditioning program. The list goes on and on. Love it or hate it, you cannot ignore that you now need to sell the way that you do things, because your players and your parents and your stakeholders in general in your program have far greater access to all sorts of information than they did when we were growing up and when we were playing. Even still, you might be thinking, so what if information symmetry exists? How does that make sales a part of coaching? And I think it's important to recognize that information symmetry means that we are all in sales because another type of symmetry has emerged as well. 20 or 30 years ago, or even less than that, even what, 16, 17, 18 years ago when I was in high school, players played for the school in their neighborhood. They were loyal to their local high school, in part because there was no other options. They had one opportunity and they chose to either make the most of it or to not play football at all. I grew up and it was an inevitable fact my whole life that I would grow up to play for the Trojans of Longmont High. There was no getting around that. There was no changing that. I was really excited about that because we were really good back in the day when I was a kid. But that, it was just like inevitable. And going to one of the other schools in town would have just been complete, I would have been a total traitor. No one did that, right? And you know that's not how kids look at it any longer, necessarily. Sometimes there's that loyalty, but often there's not. These days, many, if not most of the school districts around the country allow students to attend schools outside of their neighborhood. Obviously, that's true for a private school, but public schools more and more are letting people choose any school in the district. Furthermore, transfer rules by most state activities associations allow for some form of workaround so that students can transfer and be eligible for varsity play. For instance, here in Nebraska, the main workaround is that if you transfer early enough in the school year and you get your paperwork in by a certain date, you will be eligible in time for a certain date the next year. And it's very possible, happens all the time, for players to trade or to switch from one school to another early in the academic year that precedes when they would like to be eligible so that they can be eligible for their main sport the next year. It happens all the time. And so as a result, players and parents now have choices, and players are increasingly seeing themselves as free agents, choosing the school that best meets their needs. And by the way, I would say I see this happening in academics as well. Not so much here in Lincoln, I don't see it a ton, but I know back home where I grew up in Longmont, Colorado, certain schools are magnet schools for certain types of curriculum, and students are choosing different schools based on the type of program that's available at the different high schools. That is a huge change compared to what most of us grew up with and what most of us are familiar with, at least if you're over the age of 30 or even 25. It's changed a ton even in the last 5 to 10 years. But what I have described thus far is only the beginning of opportunity symmetry. So not only is there more choices at the local public high school or private schools, but with the rise of 7-on-7 club teams, and that's becoming more and more of a thing here in Nebraska. I know it's been in the South and on the coast for a long time. It's working its way towards us more and more. The reality that college coaches are far less dependent upon the high school coach in recruiting than they used to be, and the emergence of off-season camps where players can be quote-unquote discovered, each player needs, quote-unquote needs, his high school football coach to achieve his dreams far less than he did 20 or 30 years ago. Again, you can love that or hate that, but I don't think you can ignore it. I think that the factors have changed, and I think that most coaches who have been around for a long time would agree with that to an extent, but they wouldn't say it's not true at all, and they might hate it, but they would agree with it to an extent. Having said all that, to be clear, I'm not a huge fan of some of these realities. And I don't think players and parents know nearly as much as they think they do, nor do I believe the high school coach is as unneeded as some players and parents may think. I am not, you know, I want to make it clear if any of our parents might be listening. I can't think of a single family who I feel like has used information and opportunity symmetry to come at me and create a stir. I don't think that's happened at all. But I I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, but I am aware that this sort of thing is happening around the country with many of you and your coaching situations. And I just think that it's unfortunate. And what we have to do as coaches is not fight it by putting it down or mocking it, but find ways to overcome it. Furthermore, the merits of parents and players' perceptions aren't really the point here. Whether or not they really have this symmetry that I'm referring to or not isn't so much the point. The reality we must accept is that information and opportunity symmetry are perceived to exist to a significant degree. And this means that part of being a great coach is being a great salesman. So whether or not the information and opportunity symmetry is truly symmetrical is a point we could discuss, but it's perceived to be symmetrical, if that makes sense. I hope it does. And so in light of that perception, we have to say, okay, we're going to overcome this by finding ways to sell what we are doing so that people love it, want to be a part of it, are not tempted to use that information and opportunity symmetry to go take their talents elsewhere to South Beach, so to say, so to speak. And so we have to find out what that looks like. And knowing that you are coaches and you didn't get into teaching and coaching to be salesmen, I want to encourage you that I think there's some things that you will naturally be doing if you're a good coach anyway, that you can just emphasize and think about a little more intentionally, that will make you a 10 times better salesman. And it will all happen without you feeling slimy or feeling like you're turning into something you don't want to be. So what does it look like to tweak our game a bit and to adjust in the same way that a used car salesman has had to adjust on his lot and the way that he approaches a customer? I think I have three potential things that you can do that you can really get into and feel good about and not feel like a cheesy salesman. And the first one is to cast vision. Humans in general are hardwired for epic adventures. We are all on a quest to discover meaning and purpose in the things that we do. So as a coach who needs to sell his program, you must appeal to this hard wiring and this deep sense and need for purpose and cast a vision of what the program is all about. So here are two tips I have for casting vision. First, cast a unique vision that plays to your program's strengths. For example, I'm the head coach at Lincoln Christian School in Lincoln, Nebraska. As far as I know, we're the biggest Christian school in a 200 or 300 mile radius. The next biggest ones I can think of are in Sioux Falls and probably in Kansas City or something somewhere like that. So 200, 300 miles. So the vision I cast for our program is uniquely Christian because no other school in the area is casting the same vision for their program that I am. And I do that because it's the conviction of my heart, but it also plays here into this aspect of being a great coach and being a salesman, that I have a unique opportunity to present a unique program for people to be a part of. The reason I mention that is because you need to cast a unique vision. There is something unique and special about your school too. Maybe it's rooted in the history of your community. Maybe it's rooted in your location. Maybe it's rooted in the schemes and the styles of play that you have adopted. There's a million things it could be rooted in. But whatever it is, you need to make sure that it's distinct and it's prominent in all of the vision casting that you do, in all of the explaining of this is who we are. It should be prominent and obvious to everyone that comes across your program. The second tip I have for casting vision is to go to great lengths to help everyone see how they play a vital role in making the vision happen. And this is an area I need to grow in personally because I know that some of our younger players don't always feel like they're a part of the vision. And I think I'm losing some players to attrition because they're not quite seeing how those early years, freshman and sophomore years, they're contributing and they're being a part of it, and then they get to really enjoy and reap what they've sowed as juniors and seniors in particular. So that's something you've got to work on is go to great lengths to show everyone how they're playing a part. And you know, obviously this means everyone from your last player off the bench to your managers, to parents, to the administration, all of those people need to know how you're helping them act out and carry out that vision that you're casting. And so you've got to cast that vision to them and you've got to help them see how they can play a role. So tip number one for getting better at sales without feeling like a cheesy salesman is to cast a vision. And if you're a great coach, you're already doing this to some degree, probably to a really large degree. And all you really need to do is recognize that's a key part of what you're doing to fight against this information and opportunity symmetry, which is playing a key role in the interactions you have with parents and families and players, of course. The second tip I have for being good at sales without feeling cheesy is always teach the why. You might have heard of a guy named Simon, I think it's pronounced Sinek, and he gave a great TED talk on his why, how, what framework. And I think he's got a book now. I follow him on Instagram. He does a lot of speaking and I think it's really good. And he outlines the importance of always starting with your why and teaching your why. And you can watch an edited version of this video that's about 5 minutes long that I'll put a link to in the show notes. But Sinek's main point is this: truly inspirational leaders teach their people the why behind every aspect of all that they ask their people to do. So, he talks about why, how, what. I think it's more appropriate to say why, what, how. That's a subtle difference, but let me explain it to you. In our program, we try our best to teach why we do something, what we are doing, and how to do it. And we try to teach in that order as well. Sometimes you have to give a very brief description of the what so that you can begin to explain the why, then come back to a deeper description of the what, and then go to the how. But why, what, how is typically how we try to teach everything. So, for example, we want our players to know why, in the past, we have run a no-huddle spread option offense. They also need to know what we do, so we teach them formations and plays. And then once they know why we do what we do and what they need to do, then we teach them how to do it. What does the how look like? That's just very simply the individual position work and the individual roles and responsibilities on each play. So the how or the why would be, why do we run the no huddle spread option? The what is like play diagrams and formations and those sort of things. And the how is the individual breakdown. How does this get carried out? All of this is essentially common sense, but I bet if you asked your players to tell you why you do what you do, many of them would have a hard time articulating your why. Most players have memorized a bunch of stuff and have little ability to articulate why they are doing it, why they're doing these things that they've memorized. You know, and I know, that's not authentic learning. We all know that having players who do not truly understand the game, but have only memorized a series of do's and don'ts, will eventually negatively impact a team during a big moment in the season. It happens all the time. We've all experienced it. Following the why, what, how framework, I think, is critical to helping to eliminate it. And more importantly than that, for the context of this podcast, starting with the why is a great way to build loyalty, to sell what you're doing, and make sure everyone knows exactly why you're doing the things you do, because information symmetry and opportunity symmetry makes skeptics of everyone. And so you've got to explain yourself consistently. So explaining answers to questions like, why does your football program exist? Is it merely to win games, or is there a greater purpose? Why do you run a particular offense and defense? Why do you use a certain technique as opposed to another one? Those are critical, important things to explain the why behind. Always teach the why behind every what, and teach them over and over and over again. My third tip on turning yourself into a better salesman without feeling like a cheesy, stereotypical salesman is to learn about marketing. Excuse me. If selling is a big part of being a coach because of information and opportunity symmetry, then learning about marketing is a big part of professional development. And I think it's important that you just don't go crazy and dive headlong into any old marketing stuff. We have a unique and interesting product, so to speak. And it's very important that we market and that we learn about marketing from a proper perspective. I've gotten kind of into this topic and sifted through a lot of things. And the thing that has stood out to me is some work done by a company called StoryBrand. And I'll put a link in the show notes to their website. But StoryBrand, and if you are Googling them, their founder and CEO, I believe, is Donald Miller. StoryBrand is a company that uses the outline of an epic hero's journey to help market products. If you are a language arts, English, literature type of person, maybe that's what you teach, you know the hero's journey. And what StoryBrand does is it says every great product takes the hero through the hero's journey and helps them to overcome an obstacle or a barrier or a problem and to solve it. And the great thing about the product is that it helps the hero, which is the customer, to feel like they've succeeded. So in our case, the product is our football program. We're even the product to some extent. And The customer is the player, the parent, the family, and we need to teach them how being a part of our football program is an epic adventure. Every season is this great journey that we can't know what's going to happen, but we can prepare for and enjoy the process no matter what happens, and that in the end, they will not regret one second spent on being a part of our program because they've become a better person. They have prepared themselves to to be great members of the community, and if they're lucky and blessed and have the opportunity, they get a chance to go maybe get part of college paid for or continue the experience in some form or fashion at the next level. And so I would really recommend that to you. Again, it's StoryBrand, and the CEO, the founder, is Donald Miller. And we know that football seasons are great epic adventures. That's why we love watching the Hard Knocks TV show, and that's why we love the journey of following our favorite team. And frankly, that's part of why we're all so addicted to this game or to whatever game you coach, because you're not all football coaches. But seasons have this epic story aspect to them that's addicting, that we love to be a part of, that people want to be drawn into if it's done right. And whether or not it's done right is totally in your hands. You are the leader and the definer of your culture. So, in conclusion, like it or not, you as a football coach are in sales. Information and opportunity symmetry, or at least the perception that they truly exist, have created a reality in which we must become good at marketing every aspect of our program. Remember, why does your program exist? What is your definition of winning? Why do you use the offensive and defensive and special team schemes that you do? Why do you use the techniques that you do? All of those things have got to be sold, and you have to market those things, because each of those things can be challenged in a whole new way as compared to when we were the players and the families back in the day. So, as a reminder, you can begin selling your program by casting vision, always teaching the why, and learning about marketing. And I would specifically point you towards StoryBrand that was created by Donald Miller. I think that's about it for today, guys. I hope that this episode helps you think more clearly about your role as the culture coordinator or as the head coach of your program. Things are changing, and we don't always like those changes, but whether or not we like them doesn't really impact anything. We have to change our perception and see ourselves in a new and different light and find ways to do what we know is necessary in a way that resonates with what we think is good and proper as a high school coach or a college coach or wherever you coach. Thanks for your time, guys. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts on what it looks like to embrace selling as part of coaching without feeling icky or slimy or anything like that. Remember, The Culture Coordinator is a lot more than a podcast or a Twitter account. You can also go to culturecoordinator.com, and there's even a monthly membership to offer extra benefits to those of you that are interested. Thanks, guys.